You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our lecture today, we're going to talk about the written word, and specifically the written word of Moses, as Moses has written the first five books of the Bible. But in particular, we're going to look at some passages from that fifth book, Deuteronomy, in which Moses himself talks about writing the word for the purpose of posterity. So let's begin. We have a lot to cover. Now, from the written words of Moses, we learn about the communication of God's word since the beginning of time and prior to Moses writing down that word. So Moses gives us this overview that throughout the history of the people of God, the Lord has spoken his word to his people. And it started in the garden. In the beginning, when God created the first man, he spoke the man into existence, and then he spoke his word into the man's ears so that Adam would have the word of God, and Adam was placed into this office to retain this word and to teach this word. When God gave Adam the gift of Eve, it was Adam's responsibility to teach this word to Eve. Later on, as we follow the history and the development of humanity after the fall into sin and the rejection of God's word, we see that right before the flood, the Lord spoke his word directly to Noah, who was given the office to preach repentance to the people, to deliver this word to others that they may hear it. For by this time, the people of earth had split into two camps. Those who heard the word, rejoiced in it, and kept it, and those who despised the word, rejected it, and fled from God in his work. But in the days of Noah, he's given this word to proclaim the Lord's truth, and that there's salvation only in the Lord's means through this ark. Later on, as we track this history, we learn in the days of Abraham that the Lord spoke in various visions to Abraham. And the Lord continued to speak to Isaac and to Jacob and to Joseph through the ages. This word was then to be given and kept by the people of God. So this, of course, is all before Moses writes down the scriptures. He gives to us this account of how the word of God was communicated to the people of God. The Lord would come to his people. The Lord would come in visions. The Lord would place a man into a prophetic teaching office to continue to teach this word to the Lord's people. But now in the days of Moses, we begin to see the significance of the written text for the purpose of learning and keeping God's holy word. So that we have the first five books of the Bible, which are the books of Moses. These include Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Through these books, Moses still preaches to us in our day. As Moses was put into this preaching office, he proclaimed God's word orally in the presence of the people in which he dwelt with. But he is able to continue to preach this word into our ears as we hear the written text read. And he preaches it into our eyes as we read it for ourselves. And to begin with, we have this development, if you will, of the written word given to the people of God as a gift. So that before God's word was spoken, and then God's word would be proclaimed to others, they would hear it, they would believe it, they would rejoice in it. But now with Moses, we see something very unique with the writing down of the Ten Commandments. That the Ten Commandments themselves are written on tablets of stone by the Lord God. So in the Ten Commandments, God himself inscribes his word into a solid rock to be kept. So in chapter 5, the Ten Commandments are listed out, followed by this statement of Moses. These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness with a loud voice. And he added no more, and he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. Now this is Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22. With God's written word on the tablets, any new message could be tested against this written word inscribed in stone, the word that the Lord himself gave as a gift. So here we begin to see this very close connection between the speaking of God's word and the writing of God's word, the learning of God's word and the hearing of God's word, the retaining of God's word and the keeping of God's word in this written form. Now likewise, in the very next chapter of Deuteronomy, we hear about the importance of the written text for instruction. So here's Moses describing the significance of not only the preached word that's preached into the ears of the people, but the significance of the written word inscribed for the people. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, Moses says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your head and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Now here, the word of the Lord was put into the ears of the Israelites. They were to keep it in their hearts and speak it from their mouths. The word of God was to be constantly placed before the eyes of the people. In fact, here's this direct connection of the written word being used for this purpose. That if you write this word of God down on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, you will set your eyes upon the word as you've set your ears upon the word spoken and set your hearts upon the word as you treasure it for all the promises that God lays up for you. You see, the written word is used for this purpose, connecting to the spoken, taught word, connecting it to the visual, written word. So again, later in chapter 11 of Deuteronomy, Moses talks about the significance of the written word. He says this, "You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you will be careful to do all this commandment that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways, and holding fast to him, the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourselves. every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Your territory shall be from the wilderness to the Lebanon, and from the river, Euphrates, to the western sea. No one shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will lay the fear of you and the dread of you on all the land that you shall tread, as he has promised you. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 25. You see, one of the benefits of the written word was to help in the retention of the revealed teaching of God. They heard with their ears what the Lord had said the first time. Subsequently, they were able to see it with their eyes and place it upon their lips that others would likewise hear it. You see, as the Israelites were brought into the Promised Land this second time in the book of Deuteronomy, remember the first time they failed to enter because of their distrust, their lack of faith, and rejection of the Word of God. Now this time, when they go into the land, they know the promise, it's in their ear, that the Lord will give them the land. The promise is in their heart that the Lord is giving them this land. Yet everything that they experience when they tread into this new territory will seem to be contradictory to these words of God. It will seem like all of these people here are trying to take away the promises of God, that these people are mightier and stronger, just like the problem the first time when the spies saw the big giants and said, "We cannot do this." And so you have this connection between this word of God being heard, retained in your heart, and now this understanding of writing this word of God, that you would set your eyes visibly upon the text, that you would be able to see God's word in opposition to what you are seeing around you. The foreigners are trying to take away what the Lord has promised. But God's word gives you the certainty, the assurance that the Lord will keep his promise, that he will deliver what he declared that he can and will do. So in these passages in Deuteronomy, we are taught about the significance of teaching the word of God to the posterity and future generations of the people of God. Parents are given the great responsibility of bringing their children up in the way of the Lord. The parents are the representatives of God on earth in this family setting, the place where the Lord uses this mask to deliver wonderful gifts to the children. And these parents are to speak the word of God to their children. Thus, in the Ten Commandments, children are to honor their fathers and their mothers. Likewise, those who are placed in positions of authority within the community are also God's representatives on earth. While Moses was still alive, he was the main authority placed by God in the midst of the people to teach the people of God God's word. However, Moses foretold of a day when the Israelites would be given a king. For there would be a day when Moses, who is mortal, will die, and then there will be future generations in which you will have the people of God requesting a king like the pagans. And so Moses told them that when this happens, this king is to be God's representative on earth, just like the elders, Moses, and the parents in his day were to be. In those days, the king would have the weighty responsibility of leading the people in the way of the Lord. So Moses writes in chapter 17 of the book of Deuteronomy, saying this, "And when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this in Torah," this instruction, "approved by the Levitical priests. And it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, by keeping all the words of this Torah and these statutes, and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel. So this is Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 through 20. The written word will be the guide for the king in all his days, so that he will be able to guide the people in God's ways. He will use the text as a rule and a norm for all his leadings. As he keeps the word of God in his heart and upon his lips, he will encourage and assist the people in doing the same. So just as in the household, the father and mother are to teach their children the word of God, and then you have in the community, you have the elders, you have the Levitical priest who are teach the word of God, and then over all of this, you will have a king who's set in place to be the representative of God, the King of kings and Lord of lords upon earth. And he too, as a representative of God, will have the responsibility of teaching God's word. Now notice how it is also the responsibility of the Levitical priest who are given the task of approving the written word. So Moses here emphasizes the king will have a copy of the written word, and this copy will then, the king's copy of the written word will be compared to the written word that the Levites were given to keep. It is their task to approve the written word of the king. It is their task to teach from the written word and to make sure that the people of God are hearing God's word accurately and correctly, so that the preaching of Moses can continue throughout the days when Moses has died. We hear more about their important role in maintaining the written word in the last chapter of Deuteronomy. Starting at verse 9, we are told this. This is Deuteronomy 31. Then Moses wrote this Torah and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel, and Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, at the set time in the year of release, at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God, at the place that he will choose, you shall read this Torah before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and little ones, and the sojourner within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, and be careful to do all the words of this Torah, and that their children, who have not known it, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. Now this is Deuteronomy 31, verses 9 through 13. The Levitical priest and all the elders were given the written word of Moses. It was their task to teach the people and to read the Torah, the inscripturated word of Moses. They were to make sure that the Torah of God was kept sacred. I mean, notice again how both with the king and with the Levites, this written text itself is given as a gift for the purpose of teaching and learning to fear the Lord our God. Now likewise, back in Deuteronomy chapter 24, we heard about this as starting at verse 24. It says, when Moses had finished writing the words of this Torah in a book to the very end, Moses commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, take this book of the Torah and put it by the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against you. For I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Behold, even today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? Assemble to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death you will surely act corruptly, and turn aside from the way that I have commanded you. And in the days to come evil will befall you, because you will do what is evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger through the work of your hands. This is Deuteronomy 31, verses 24 through 29. The Levitical priests were told to be the keepers of the written word, just as they were to be the keepers of the Ark of the Covenant. Now keep in mind that the Ten Commandments written on the stone tablets were contained in the Ark, for it was a box that held the Ten Commandments. And where the Ark was present, God promised to be present for the benefit of his people. Likewise, God is present with his word. Now in addition, notice how Moses instructs the people about the condition of the human heart. It is rebellious and stubborn by nature. It does not want to hear God's word. Moses knew that the people would distort, change, manipulate, add to, subtract from the words that he taught. Thus, the written word would bring stability and surety. The written word would be the norm through which the people could compare all other feelings, experiences, desires, and teachings. The written word would bear witness to the people of what Moses truly said. Keeping the word of Moses pure is keeping the word of God. I mean, again, notice how Moses talks about his own experience. In his own lifetime, when he spoke his word, how the people were so naturally inclined because of sin not to listen to a word that he said. So he knew that it would happen in the days to come. Because again, how much more? If they have a hard time listening to him in his presence, how much more in his absence? But again, we see this significance in the beauty of this written word, that we can still hear Moses preaching to us today. Thus, when the apostles taught in the New Testament scriptures, they maintained that in the preaching of Jesus as the Messiah, they were keeping the very words of Moses pure. Jesus was the fulfillment of all that Moses had promised. For this is what Moses himself said in the presence of the people in those days, and this is what Moses wrote down for generations to come, so they would know exactly what Moses said. So in Deuteronomy chapter 18, we hear this from Moses. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die. The Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I commanded him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your hearts, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. Now, this is Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 22. Now likewise, back in Deuteronomy chapter 13, Moses said this, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. Now this is Deuteronomy 13 verses 1 through 4. Now again, this is Moses speaking to the people in person, but writing this word down for posterity's sake, so that we can take the written word of Moses and compare it to any spoken word or any other written word, and see what the prophet or the so-called self-proclaimed prophet is saying compared to what Moses said. The written text gives us this certainty. Now, one of these things that you see in this text is, what if this false prophet does these false signs and wonders? Well, the case is, if he is telling you to go after another god, then you're not to listen. Just like in the New Testament, the apostles will warn us about following after another gospel, or another Jesus, or another spirit. So that we are not to take somebody else's word, and especially when somebody says, all the prophets before me didn't know what they were talking about, and let me fill you in, but rather take the written word as a whole, from the prophets and the apostles. And you'll notice how the apostles, when they came on the scene, they said, we teach nothing new, we teach what the written word had proclaimed. This is precisely what the Apostle Peter does in Acts chapter 3 when he quotes from the written text of Deuteronomy 18 about God raising up a prophet like Moses. Then Peter proclaims after that, saying, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people, and all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. That's Acts chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. So the apostles went out saying, we are listening to Jesus because the written word of the prophets before and the written word of Moses prior had told us to do so. In John chapter 5, Jesus says, for if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? That's John chapter 5, verses 46 through 47. And we know John's gospel was written that we would believe.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.